Welcome to Our House with one of Australia's leading auctioneers, Rod Amos, and buyer's agent, Matt Sharp. And now for your dose of information and observation about real estate across the nation. Let's go live to your host, the voice of the National Rugby League, Steve Allen.
Episode 40 of the Our House podcast. We're back live from the man cave, and great to see you boys. Matt Sharp from Sharp Property Buyers, Rod Amos from Urban and Coastal. And Sharpie, you should have seen this guy in action on the weekend. We were part of a function, the Danica Clark Foundation Gala Dinner. So raises money for sports scholarships, and Rod was in career best form.
And how much money has the Danica Clark Foundation raised at this point, Steve?
Yeah, so it was founded around about 2008. Danica Clark was an Australian champion in beach sprint and flags, and tragically passed away, and a sports foundation was named in her honour. And since then, they've raised over $300,000 for local athletes, so over 100 scholarship holders. And some of those athletes have gone on to win Olympic medals. Some of them have been world champions. And
not just the Olympics, but the Paralympics as well, too. Right across the field, right across so many different sporting categories.
Yeah, incredible foundation, and well done. And what a great initiative to have for young athletes and sports people on the Central Coast. But no doubt Rob was called in to call a couple of auctions.
Yeah.
What was being auctioned, and also at what prices were they being sold at?
There was only three auction items, and how much money did the audience raise for those three auction items?
Yeah, I think maybe $10,000 in about 15 minutes.
One of the best auction items I've seen at a function like that was at Newcastle Knights. They were auctioning off a game day experience to basically shadow Nathan Brown for the whole day. Imagine that, sitting in the box, you know, understanding what happens in the inner sanctum. Newcastle's probably not the best team to sit there, but still, you know, you can't really buy that stuff.
Yeah, imagine if it was Craig Bellamy or Wayne Bennett.
Well, then again, Nick Montgomery, congratulations to Mariners, because they put up that package again too. So that's a family pass. You get to sit with the players. You get to attend the games. And every single year they stump that one up, and a really great money earner for the foundation.
And if you think about Rod, like, we've discussed it quite a lot since that night with our family, and we said, you see how a great auctioneer, that it's a real performance. So he's isolated. No one's got his back. He is literally the solo man up there, and he lives and dies by his energy, and he just absolutely nailed it. I've never seen him better than what he was on Saturday night. And
must have been the Metro shirt, Steve. It carried me.
On fire. And yeah, we've spoken about on this show a number of times the difference between a good and poor auctioneer. You know, it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, unfortunately, I've been on the receiving end of one of Rod's great performances. And when I say receiving end, I mean losing at auction, because he's dragged everyone's price up. But what a fantastic event, and well done to everyone involved.
I've just got back from Bundaberg. I was up there with the Bulldogs, and we spoke about that off the air. What an incredible trip we had up there. What have you been up to, Sharpie?
Mate, we've just been flat out working, to be honest. Really, really busy. House settled yesterday for my mum, which I know we spoke about a little while ago, so she's very, very excited with that. But it's just business as usual for us.
Yeah, what
well,
about
at least you got a holiday home up the coast now, haven't you?
Yeah, I think that house will stay in our family for a very long time, hopefully.
I want to give a shout out to Kalki Moon in Bundaberg. So this is the gin distillery that we went to, and we were treated like royalty everywhere we went, and what a huge success it was. But Kalki Moon, keep an eye on them.
Steve? Kalki Moon, the gin company, but the varieties, it is just mind-boggling how many there are. What was the favourite taste in the Kalki Moon?
Well, the first one they handed me. The main man is Rick Prosser. He's the master distiller. And I think he's got some rum about to come out as well. So I think everyone's excited about that. So shout out to all our friends in Bundaberg. They just embraced it. They loved it. We're going back there for two more years as well. So it's a three-year deal. And then hopefully ever more. Okay. What caught your eye, boys?
For me, our local neighbour here on the Central Coast, Scott Farquhar, recently purchased a North Avoca beachfront on North Avoca Parade. I'll probably leave the number out of it, but for a tick over $10 million. Now, quite exciting, but what's even more unique about this particular purchase is I believe he already owns a property, I think three doors down. So he's on a quest to buy every property along that stretch.
So Atlassian hasn't been doing too bad out there, have they? They're not doing too bad on the real estate stakes either, mate.
No, I think, look, I don't know what Atlassian's worth, but I think this
more,
is...
there's more zeros than you and I could conjure.
Yeah, and what's also interesting is I believe the Farquhar family actually own a property in Point Piper. I think, was it worth $70 million? Something like that. So I didn't even know that was possible. I thought it was his whole portfolio at $70 million, but I think it's just one house down there at Point Piper. So crazy, crazy stuff, but big sale. So well done to everyone involved. And I believe it was Kathy Baker at Bell Property.
And is North Avoca the area where former Miss Universe also frequents, Jennifer Hawkins?
Yes. Yeah,
it certainly has been. Sophie Monk was there until she bought her acreage. But that suburb has just been extraordinary growth. Of all the suburbs on the Central Coast, that's the one that it has been hard keeping up with, hasn't it?
It has. And look, it's easy to see why now. It's just such a great little beach. It's obviously very family friendly, easy to walk. It's nice and flat.
It's just a lot more people in the water now than there used to be.
Yeah.
It is 10 million absolute beachfront.
Absolute beachfront, and probably one of the nicer houses on that beachfront as well. We're not talking a knockdown. This is a really nice home.
Yeah, boys, this caught my eye. It's hot off the press. It's in the Gold Coast Bulletin, so we're going back to my hometown. It's been a while since I've spoken about Palm Beach, but 1,649 square metres. So a developer has picked up three adjoining sites. I've studied the aerial view.
Beachfront?
It's on the Gold Coast Highway, so it backs onto Jefferson Lane. So that's pretty much where I spent my entire childhood, on Jefferson Lane.
Folks, if you're up there, you can see where Steve signed his signature in the wet concrete on 37 different homes.
Well, we lived in virtually every avenue in Palm Beach, but it looks to me like it might be around 11th Ave and 14.025 million. Biggest sale in Palm Beach so far this year, 14.0.
And not too far away from your favourite artificial reef out there, Steve.
Yeah.
One of the most competitive markets in the country, and still is very, very competitive right now when we're talking about markets across Australia easing, but the Gold Coast market in particular, that area is very, very strong.
The show all about information and observation about real estate across the nation. Rod, we've got July vacancy rates.
Look, again, vacancy rates, no improvement on there. By vacancy rates, we're meaning those properties that you might be able to rent. Now, sadly, with that too, it is still particularly tight. And let's just take it to Sydney too. As far as the vacancy rates go for the great city of Sydney, this certainly is in the Central Coast, but let's do a couple of the snapshots there. It had dropped again down to 1.5%, Melbourne sitting at 1.6%. And more reflective of what we're seeing on the Central Coast, Matt and Steve, is the fact that Brisbane is under 1%. Perth is under 1%. Adelaide is down to 0.4%. Canberra, 0.9%. Darwin, 0.6%. Hobart, 0.6%. So the average across the nation is probably less than 1%. We've spoken about it before. It's worth speaking about it again. The other thing, if we're talking about what caught my eye, Steve and Matt, plenty of bad news out there about real estate, isn't the gloom and the doom. What are we going to do to get a front page coverage? But when we look at the auction clearance rates last weekend, we'll tend to tell a somewhat different story. Sydney and Melbourne, rather incredible coincidence is that one there, but both recorded clearance rates of 65.7%. So that was about 10% up on the previous weekend before. Brisbane still a little tougher at 40.6, but the other city we've talked about, Adelaide, 86% auction clearance rates. So we're talking about markets within markets. And when Adelaide puts up 83 properties to auction, great numbers for a city the size of Adelaide. Canberra's well down at 34%, but again, we're still seeing plenty of market activity down there as well, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Adelaide in particular is still very, very competitive, and it's reflective on some of those numbers there. Only 85 auctions for the weekend. It's just an indication of how little stock's available down there, which obviously creates a competitive market.
Hey, Rod, I just want to go back to the rentals and the cost per week. Now, it's a photo finish between Hobart and Adelaide for the cheapest rental for a house. In Hobart, $512 per week. Adelaide, $524. Now, this surprised me. Melbourne, 567. And then you compare that to Sydney, 830. What are
now,
your thoughts?
That's it indeed. We don't, you don't get paid 40% more for working out of Sydney than you do with Melbourne. Mm. So the difficulty here, and this is what lots of people are facing, is if you are renting, that's a huge difference. We're talking about something about $270 a week difference between Sydney and Melbourne for what you're going to pay. Is your salary going to come back and benefit you by working one city than the other?
Yeah, and you've just nailed it. I think you're talking about affordability, and it's one of the reasons why we opt to invest in some of these other cities, capital cities and also regional centres, because the reality is you know, the salaries and the household income, there's not a huge difference between the major capital cities. Where the difference is obviously in the rental prices and also the purchase prices of properties.
Hey, boys, just before we get to Brad Hillier, Rod, he's running your office, is that correct, with Sean Hudson-Smith?
Look, that's it. I worked beside Brad for quite a few years back in the early 2000s. He and Sean went and opened up Bell Property, turned that into a brand, sold that on. Brad then moved down to Sydney going back about 9 years ago. Sean continued on with Ray White. Look, they keep in touch. They're a great team together. They did great things with Bell, so they've decided to go back out, rebrand as Urban and Coastal, be able to put their own impetus and expertise into it as well too, and they're going to do great things.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to Brad. I want to ask him about the way that medians have changed in Sydney since 2001. But boys, just before we go on, in Melbourne, the median since 2001 has gone up 296%. In Brisbane, 381%. The median's gone up since 2001.
Mm. And I think Brisbane's still got a way to go. You know, you talk about affordability like we're just mentioning. In terms of price difference, you know, you can get far more for your money in Brisbane than what you can in Melbourne. And not only that, fantastic lifestyle as well in Brisbane. And, you know, with the work from home factor, flexible working conditions now, it is a very, very attractive option.
And joining us now is a guy who's had an incredible wealth of experience, not just here on the Central Coast, but also in Sydney, where he was a star, an elite performer. Rod, I'm sure you want to pick up the story about Brad Hillier.
Look, that's it. Brad is a local-born lad that after a career background, we'll ask you a little bit about that, got involved in real estate, and has clocked up, gee, it's coming up for it's well over 20 years at this stage, Brad, but you did spend the last 9 to 10 down in Sydney, moved back, but let's go back to the very beginning. Whereabouts on the Central Coast did you grow up? Which school did you go to?
So I went to Lizzaro High School, actually. So I grew up on an acreage around the border of Lizzaro and Arimba.
All right, good little area. And your first start after school was into the trades, I take it?
It was, yeah, theatre and turner by trade, and did that for 4 years and then got straight back out of it, got into real estate.
Now, what was the reason for the move in real estate? Look, you did mention to me that you were actually up in a managerial position with a company, and it was a lot of travelling to Sydney and back with crews for fittings and design and things of that nature. But what was the main percolator, so to speak, to make a move into real estate?
Oh, look, I actually did a... actually injured my back, so I sort of the job I had previously, it was hard to do once I injured my back, so I'd had a bulged disc, and so I thought, what other career? And everyone used to always say to me growing up as a kid, I was always buying and selling things, and everyone used to say, why don't you get into real estate? So I decided to take the advice from many people, friends and circles of family around me, and got into real estate.
And never look back, Brad. So congrats on a very successful career. Look, I'm going to fast forward probably, I don't want to embarrass you, maybe 20 odd years. I know you spent some time here on the Central Coast and obviously, you know, very successful under some of the bigger brands, including Bell and Ray White, and also spent some time in Sydney as well. Mate,
yes.
What was the motivation behind starting, you know, the new venture at Urban and Coastal with Sean and the team?
Well, I've obviously moved back from Sydney recently, finished building family home, and I started to travel back and forth, and it was a bit hard to do with two young kids. So I reached out to Sean and said, I'm coming back to work on the Central Coast. And, you know, Sean was my old business partner. I trusted him. And, you know, I thought that Ray White was a good brand. It was a very strong brand where I was in Sydney. But I thought it had its boundaries and limitations, so we want to cover the entire Central Coast. So we decided to rebrand Close Ray White and start our own brand, Urban and Coastal.
Yeah, awesome, mate. And congrats for taking the lead. But something that we're starting to see more of now, people opting to be a little bit more independent. I think these days with technology, it probably allows it to be a little bit easier than potentially what it was in the past. You just mentioned Ray White. If you were to obviously work at that Terrigal office, you may be restricted in some capacity. What do you mean by that exactly?
So what I mean by that is that with the franchise agreement, with whether it be Ray White or any other company, most of the time they've got demographical areas like a farm area, so to speak. So whether it be Terrigal, Wombril, north of Ochre, you're not allowed to prospect outside those areas when you cross over another Ray White brand or whether it be another brand. So you normally have to stay within those core markets.
Brad, I'd like to get your thoughts on Sydney, because when you were down there, so you've specialised in Darlinghurst, Surry Hills, Redfern, Paddington, Potts Point. Yep. Since 2001, I noticed today that the median in Sydney has risen 269% since 2001. Tell us about the market when you were down there and some of your observations.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved down late 2013. When I moved down there, the market was a little challenged in 2013, but then it quickly changed not long after I was there. But, you know, the market there is very strong, you know, compared to the Central Coast, so to speak. And what I mean by that is just the open home numbers that would attend compared to the Central Coast market. The buyer activity, where buyers would act a lot faster, because there was so much more competition against them, where you might have had sort of 5-10 buyers on each property. So buyers had no choice. If they liked it, they had to, you know, react and give us unconditional contracts, because most of our properties were, you know, 99% of our properties were listed as an auction. So it was just a really fast forward market. It was very competitive. It was very fast. It was exciting.
Yeah, Brad, are you staggered by the wealth in Sydney?
Oh, look, yeah. Often I went out to listed appointments, and if you don't Google their names and you don't know necessarily who they are, and, you know, you might go out to listed and then find out down the track that they were the CEO of some enormous company that I had no idea of. So there's definitely a lot of wealth and knowledgeable people down there. And, you know, it's an extremely competitive market. So it was great to be in the mix and learn from the best of the best down there.
Yeah, Brad, I want to talk about that. I want to find out who your mentors were. But the boys were talking about like a bit of a dog-eat-dog world. What was it like in that eastern suburbs area, you know, trying to get listings and market properties?
Oh, look, it was challenging at the start. Like when I first moved down there, I didn't really know the streets. I didn't know the areas. I didn't have any buyers or potential listings. So I basically just went through all the withdrawals and went and door knocked to get traction. I got multiple listings the first month, second month, third month, and then it was underway. So it was, you know, I was in an office where there was about 100 staff. It was a very big office. And, you know, they were selling about 100 properties a month plus. So it was a good office to be in and learn from. You know, there's a lot of people there in the top 10 agents of Australia. So it was, you know, working alongside those people was exciting.
Yeah, could you name names? Who were some of those people that kind of inspired you?
Absolutely. So when I first went down there, I was working very closely with Ivan Brezik from Brezik Whitney, Shannon Whitney, obviously the CEO as well, Will Phillips, who was one of the directors as well, which is now, he's now moved to Byron Bay, you know, McClay Longhurst, that, you know, there's some in our office. It was probably 10 out of the top 20 in Australia. it was that dominated in that one office. It was some of the best of the best, that's for sure.
So, Brad, what did it feel like having already spent a decade in the industry and then going back and serving your second apprenticeship? Because I imagine, you know, a new area, as you said, just starting from scratch again, it's more than just dedication. How many hours a day were you spending between the letterbox dropping, the door knocking and the phone calls at night?
Oh, look, I think going and starting down there again after having the experience, it was actually quite exciting, because I already knew how real estate worked, but then sort of seeing how the top 10 of Australia work and what little key components they do compared to what I was doing on the Central Coast, there was a lot of light bulb moments where they were really easy changes to do myself to make it a, you know, a much better market for me finding business. So, you know, it was actually really, really easy to adapt to that and learn from it. After the first year, I actually found an apartment above our work. So I moved into that apartment for about 3 years directly. So I'd get in the lift from work, go straight up, have lunch, come straight down. I worked six, sometimes 7 days a week, you know, starting at seven, finishing at seven. You know, I had to put in the hard work to be able to get traction in that competitive market.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a great story, and it's something you play to every young agent that's coming through about the work ethic you need, Sharpie.
Yeah, it's a relentless work ethic that you need if you want to be successful in this industry. There's no doubt about it. And as Brad mentioned, you know, it can be 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, if not more. But congrats for obviously carving out not only a career up here, Brad, but also in Sydney. You mentioned, you know, the open home numbers are much larger in Sydney. What are some of the other differences between the Terrigal market or the Central Coast market in comparison to working down in Sydney and in the east?
Yeah, look, I think the variety of different style of properties, whether that be, you know, inner city apartments versus, you know, large penthouse apartments or big houses at Bellevue Hill, Vaucluse, you know, obviously we have a lot of demographics on the, you know, different style properties on Central Coast as well, but they're very much opposite to us, the style of properties. So it was, I guess for an agent, it was exciting to see, you know, the different styles of real estate sectors down there, whether it be residential, commercial, and just the type of people you met. It was very interesting.
Brad, what was your biggest sale? Can you share that with us? And I also want to talk about the commercial sector because you switched to a commercial agency. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I switched to a commercial company maybe 12 months prior to me leaving Sydney because I knew I was going to come back to Central Coast, and I was contemplating whether I was going to commit back to the Sydney a few days a week to do commercial. But, you know, I've sort of always dabbled in the development and commercial space from day dot for my real estate career. So I've been doing that residential and commercial space for a long time. And, you know, I contemplated whether to stay in Sydney and do that full time, but two young kids and an acreage I just built, I had to, you know, focus back on the Central Coast entirely rather than trying to go back to Sydney. Biggest sale. Oh, I should know that offhand, shouldn't I? Well, I guess one thing I will talk about, one of the biggest sales for me on the coast, I just recently sold Two Shores Holiday Village, which is the caravan park at North Entrance. I took that to market. I had 304 inquiries through the campaign. I had 14 offers throughout the campaign and sold that for $10.2 million. So that was probably my recent large sale.
Congrats. Yeah, Brad, rather a spectacular way to launch urban and coastal on the market with on the back of a $10 million plus sale.
Yeah, it was a good first sale back, that's for sure, Rod.
Yeah, and Brad, with all of that inquiry, how much of that came from overseas? What percentage?
I would say roughly 10%. Normally it would be a bit higher, but I think at the moment that overseas inquiries shifted and changed a little bit at the moment. But I would say that from Sydney inquiry, it probably as high as 60, 65, 70%, 10% overseas and probably 20% local would be the breakdown.
Well done. And it was only on the market for a short period as well, from memory.
Yeah, correct. It'd be about two months in total. I just also listed another caravan park off the back of that one at Canton Beach, which I've just put on the market as well.
And how long had that property stayed within the family group?
8 years, that one. It last traded for around $4 million 8 years ago.
That's not a little bad profit margin there, is it, when we talk about property increasing over time and you've got to hang on to it. But look, again, it's a very unique kind of buyer market you're dealing with that. Not sure you've covered the commercial, you covered the residential. What was the most challenging thing about marketing a caravan park to get that kind of fantastic result?
Well, I think the most challenging part there, Rod, is actually getting all the information prepared. You know, you got to, when you're selling an asset like that, you've got to be very organized, have all the information, have all the answers to all the buyers when they inquire. So what we do, we set up what's called a data room, and we put all the information in separate folders. And I think that's probably the most time consuming part, preparation to get the listing ready to go live on the website. You know, dealing with the buyers and answering the questions was the fun and easy part, so to speak. But yeah, it's the whole process. Just takes a lot longer to work with those types of assets than a residential sale, that's for sure.
All right. Now, after having spent years with well-known franchise groups, you know, we've all loved the Ray Wyatt. What are some of the biggest challenges then in going out on your own with yourself and Sean to create a new brand, to still have the same resource there and yet be able to give even better coverage to potential vendors? The biggest challenges, Brad?
The biggest challenge for us is just getting brand identity, you know, making people aware of who we are, you know, that Sean's been Ray Wyatt, we've just rebranded, same database, same staff. You know, I guess we want people to understand that, you know, we're a new brand, we've got fresh energy, we've got great ideas coming from the Sydney market. You know, I guess we're highly focused and we just need brand identity for the market.
Yeah, so you don't only need a business degree, you need a marketing degree. And I mean, it's so difficult across all the platforms these days that you really need experts in those fields.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely do. Like having third-party operations behind the scenes, you know, assisting with social media and things like that definitely go a long way with, you know, in the current market.
Now, speaking of the social media, I was going to ask a question. What is you've seen as some of the biggest developments and changes within the industry 20 years ago? Who would have thought how important the social media aspect of promoting properties to the general market would become, Brad?
Yeah, look, I was never big on social media, to be honest. You know, really, you know, it's just evolving and changing on a, you know, monthly, yearly basis. I think it's, you know, regardless of whether we want to do it, we've all got to do it in the current climate. And it looks like that will be forever moving forward with new ideas. I think it's definitely changing the real estate world.
Hey, Brad, can I ask you one more question about some of the agents that you work with in Sydney? And you said there were some of the best agents or the most successful agents in Australia. What separates them from every other agent? What do they do differently?
Yep, structure. They continually do their daily habits. They ask great qualifying questions. They follow up well, but they just do the basics well, and they do it consistently. And if they need to do things on a weekend or outside of hours, they just do it. No excuses.
Yeah, and does that set the culture within that business?
If you can't keep up with the train, you're kicked off.
Mm. It's interesting. It's like an elite sporting team, right?
Yep.
The best players just do the, you know, the basics really, really well and consistently. And if you come into that organization, you either get on the train, like Brad said, and follow suit, or you'll be exited.
Those high achievers, I'm fascinated by what makes them tick.
And going into the city market where I didn't have a database and didn't have knowledge of the area, it was more about watching those key agents on their daily habits, on what they do, how they deal with their clients, what they're sending out to their clients, how they generate most of their listings. It's just really understanding their key elements of their day-to-day habits.
Where do you feel like we're heading, Brad, for the rest of this year and beyond? I mean, we're hearing a lot of experts. Michael Yardney came on our show recently, talks about how far the market might cool. What are your thoughts, though, as an expert in the industry?
Oh, look, I think there's no doubt the market's definitely shifting. You know, prices have come off, you know, slightly. I think that, you know, over time that'll start to level. I think buyers and sellers are feeling a bit more comfortable with the changes. There's still a lot of buyer activity out there. You know, buyers are just uncertain in the changing market. I think that, you know, moving forward, you know, the Central Coast is a, you know, it's similar to Sydney. It's a resilient market. There's been a lot of people move up here from COVID. We're allowed to work from home. So I think that, you know, Central Coast market, you know, is looking in, it should stay in good shape. I think that people will just have to be mindful of, you know, not trying to overshoot the market, because then they will sit on the market and then things will get harder for those owners. And, you know, just trying to match the right buyer and the right seller in the current market is key right now.
So urban and coastal matchmaking specialist there, Brad. Thanks for joining us so much today with the background. Love working with you years ago. Love working with you right now. And again, thanks for all that experience and skill expertise you bring up to the coast.
Absolute pleasure. And thanks for us for the interview. Thanks so much.
Brad Hillier, boys, and gee, what a wealth of information. I really love the fact that he went back to basics and He didn't really know a whole lot about the eastern suburbs, but look at the crash course he gave himself, even to the fact where he pretty much moved into the office living upstairs so that he could just immerse himself. And you'd play that to virtually every young agent on how to be successful in this business.
Yeah, and I think one thing that should give you confidence, Rod, and probably everyone in that office there at Urban and Coastal is the fact that, you know, he had the determination to go down to Sydney, almost rebirth himself and learn a new trade and obviously be very successful and to come up here now to start again. Like, if I'm getting in the trenches with someone, that's someone I want to be working with.
I only know three or four agents who successfully transported themselves, and that's over 25 years. From the Central Coast to Sydney market. Now, not to saying the Central Coast is not competitive. Like, you know, you look at areas like literally any area, it is very competitive. But there is nowhere as competitive, I wouldn't think, in the whole of Australia as the eastern suburbs.
Yeah, so I'm sure he gives you great confidence for you, Rod, in terms of the future that Urban and Coastal is going
to
have.
Just a great person to work with, man. Yeah,
awesome.
Great person.
Hey, boys, a quick shout-out. Jean Ferguson, caught up with her on the weekend. She said she loves the podcast, particularly the Michael Yardney episode. So thanks so much to everyone for listening. Thanks also to Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions. Normally, we'd have one of their master tradesmen on our show, but we'll get back to Smith & Sons in a couple of weeks. If you want to sum up Smith & Sons, here's a photo on their website. What does that say to you, Rod?
That says family again too, doesn't it, Steve? We've got three generations sometimes representing that family. That's the kind of people I want to do business with, Matt.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so thanks to Smith & Sons. They are the best. If you need anything done around your place, renovations or extensions, they're the team to speak to. Great to see you, Sharpie.
Thank you, boys. Thanks so much.
Rod, best wishes with Urban and Coastal. Any auctions this week?
No, not this week, but coming up, there's going to be a couple of big ones a week thereafter. I can't say anything at this stage. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I love that Kona Silent stuff. That is episode 40. We'll catch you again soon on Our House.